Luke chapter 8 in your Bibles this evening. Luke chapter 8. I think you are a lot like me in that. Don't you love the salvation stories in the New Testament, especially the ones at the feet of the Lord? And that's what we have this evening. You will be very familiar with the story. Luke chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which was over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, to the abyss. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. They all died. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now, we're going to find out there's a reason for that. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils were healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The country folk of the Gadarenes were into raising hogs. It probably shows the backslidden condition of these folks. Pork was forbidden according to Israeli law. And pigs don't make really good pets unless you're Wilbur. Okay. Their reaction to a great miracle was certainly predictable for a backslider. Their thought was this: solve our problem, but save our pigs. We want our problem solved, but we don't want it to cost us anything. Deliver the wild man, but don't kill our hogs. So I have some thoughts. First of all, what the devil had done to this man. In verse 27, the Bible says, he wear no clothes. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, nakedness is a sign of demonic activity. I didn't say demon possession. When people begin to dress less than modest, someone is behind that, and it is not God. God has already spoken to us in Leviticus chapter 18, and he basically says, keep your clothes on. And you take a look around today, and it is a shame. But some people say, well, it really doesn't bother me. Let me tell you what has happened. They have sunk to a lower level. They fed themselves on nakedness, and they have seared their conscience. You can do that, you know. You can get to the place where things don't bother you in the least because you've sunk to a lower level. Part of the reason for all the crime regarding sex today is in regards to this. Second of all, the Bible says he abode not in any house. I suppose that a form of divorce had taken place. A once happy home is shattered. He may have had kids. Make no mistake, Satan is trying to destroy our homes as well. I don't care what the world says or does, you believe God, and God hates divorce. Third, he lived in a graveyard. Can I apply it this way for us this evening? Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I've never been able to understand why Christians want to run with dead people. Christians should covet the fellowship of other Christians that are alive to God. We ought to do our best to grow in grace and love the brethren, love coming to church, love the people here. Our dearest friends should be those whom Christ hath redeemed. That's what the devil had done to this man. He was naked, his home was shattered, he's living in a graveyard. Second of all, what society had done for the man. In verse 29, they bound him with chains and fetters. That is the way in which man tackled the problem that was a part of their life. Society tried to bind the wild man so that he couldn't be quite as bad. Let's just bind him up and we'll chain him over here and we can go about our business. He's not going to be running out all the time. Society was not interested in his need for repentance and for the new birth and to have those demons cast out of him. Here's what we do today. We put a drunkard in a nice hospital for a while, clean them up, turn them loose. Just make them appear a little more respectable for a little while. This man broke loose from the chains, and that is still going on today. This man had a spiritual problem. No matter how strong the chains of a psychological approach is, it is not enough to change a spiritual problem. You can't address a spiritual problem on a physical level. It has to be on a spiritual level, folks. Third, what Jesus did for the man. First of all, he commanded the unclean spirit to depart. I guess I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that Jesus takes the devil out of the folks when they get saved. He gives you the power to defeat Satan in your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He is a new creation. You are made over. Second, Jesus restored the man to his right mind. He began to think right again. I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." That's right thinking. And that's what Jesus did for this man. Fourth, here's what the man did for himself. Gotta love this. First of all, he put his clothes on. Nakedness is a shame, and he wanted to cover up. All things become new. Right-thinking people do that, don't they? And then in verse 38, he wanted to go with Jesus. Any true Christian will want to be with the Lord in a relationship that will afford close contact at all times. Old and beloved Paul said this, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Jesus, which is far better." He was just a little homesick for heaven after God let him see it. Can you imagine? God let Paul look up into the third heaven and see that. And old Paul just said, "I've got a desire to depart and to be with Jesus in that wonderful place." And then he sat at Jesus' feet. He worshiped. When you get saved, worship becomes an issue in your life. You want that. And I know at times we miss church, but try to never miss a service of the church, because worship takes place here. Support the church with your time and your talent and your tithe. Reach out to the lost. There's worship there. That's what these two couples do. They go to the fairs and they have a booth set up and they talk to people about their souls. And they've had 100 people saved. And then he said this, "Go home and show how great things the Lord hath done for you." That is a wonderful thing for each one of us, to get concerned about our family, our homes, and go home and tell them what wonderful things God has done for us. This is such a good story. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I say it so often, but I mean it with all my heart. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for speaking to us. When we read your word and the Holy Spirit takes it and breaks it and feeds us, how wonderful that is. We just thank you for this time together this evening. Bless these dear people. Bless our lives together. Help us to be much about your business and just to be concerned about you using us in a wonderful and a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen.